Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. I want to talk today about fasting. Talked a little bit about it on Ash Wednesday, and there's more I'd like to open up for us because it's a real gift for us to be able to see the value and the importance of fasting and how Scripture looks at it and how the church historically has looked at it in different ways. It's a very important piece of this whole season of Lent. And it's one of the things that, even if nothing else, it keeps us in the season because it's so easy. Again, I mentioned yesterday, in the busyness of life, the intensity of culture. And before you know it, you do Ash Wednesday, have the ashes, you're kind of feeling it, you start moving it, and then bam, Thursday starts. And then for the next 4 weeks, every day is pretty much just like every other day of the year. So it requires something to pull ourselves out of that rhythm of life and step into the rhythm of the penitential prayer of the people of God. And that is, as not just us individually, but the whole people of God are called to now turn to the Lord in a particular kind of way, to humble ourselves, to posture ourselves to receive from the Lord what he wants to give us, because he wants to produce change and purification. He wants us to step forward and deeper into love of him and to empower us to love our neighbor more, to understand how deeply God loves us and how much power he's given us to be able to love him back and how to access that. And when we do that and we step into that reality of putting the first love first, suddenly we begin to change in the grace the Lord wants to give to us, in that humility, in that attentiveness to the Lord. We begin to see things by the help of the Holy Spirit differently than we do without that grace, and that causes us to see others differently. It moves us to love others. And Jesus wants to bring us all the way to that place, I think we've talked about a few times over the last year, where we do what he commanded us to do, and that is to love those who hate us, to love our enemies. That is probably the most difficult teaching that Jesus gives. I mean, it is hard. Sometimes I scratch my head and I say, Lord, it's hard to love people who love us, who love me. It's hard for me to do that sometimes, you know, because of selfishness and ego and all the rest. But to love those who hate us, to will their good, to really will their good. I mean, sometimes it's just a decision. You may not have a single feeling that moves in that direction, but guess what? What the Lord wants to do, that's a good starting point. To just, in obedience, will the good of another and respect their dignity. That's the foundation of the whole thing. And remember that, you know, things like, you know, the sun rises on the good and the bad, that, you know, God's sun shines on everybody because everybody made in the image of God, God loves and God desires to save. And if his church, if Peter Herbeck is caught up in my own weakness, sin, flesh, selfishness, self-pity, because these people don't like me, whatever it is, I'm not going to be able to love them like the children of God are meant to do. And one of the sobering things Jesus said about love your enemies really is one of the ways that it proves that you're a child of God, because children of God do that. We say, okay, Lord, here we are in the beginning of Lent. I have to say, I don't do that very well. I don't like people who are indifferent. You know, I'm just saying, there's the attitude out there. There's so much division. We don't like people who are in the opposite political parties, or even if you're not in a political party, you don't like people on either side in the political party. There's anger, rage, and division everywhere. And you see the real condition of the human heart apart from God's grace. We say, Lord, I do not want to get into that. Lord, I need help. I need power to change. And so Lent is a season that the Lord wants us to take that stuff seriously and drill down, so to speak. And so one of the ways we do it is we posture ourselves attentively to the Lord, and we do that through fasting. It can quiet. One of the things that you do when you eat less and you're less preoccupied with food is it kind of quiets you internally. Now, at the beginning, when you start to fast, you start saying no to the flesh in a way you haven't said no. There's going to be more noise internally. You're going to be whining. It probably is like, if you're like me or like other people, it's like, oh man, what time is it now? What time is it now? Oh man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go another hour like this. And you can. You can, trust me. And by the way, all fasting, besides the basics that the church is giving us, as I mentioned earlier in the week, fast and abstinence, you know, there's certain fast days in Lent, and Friday are days of abstinence. We just don't eat meat, so that's a sacrifice, but there's lots of other food out there that can be had. And fasting is sort of the minimum or the fundamental teaching is one meal a day and two smaller meals you can have, but together those two small meals don't exceed the larger meal. Now, just to let you know, there are lots of people, both Catholic and non-Catholic, in this time of year, who take fasting very seriously. I mentioned briefly at the end of the program the other day, I used to live with some guys back in the 80s when I was single, and we had a serious house of guys that were just working in ministry, but also had regular jobs. We'd get up early in the morning, we'd pray, we made sacrificial decisions, we slept on the floor, we lived in common, and things like that. And we took Lent very seriously. I mean, we did all kinds of things. We took pictures off the wall, and we had like little bowls with ashes in them and like crowns of thorns in a couple different places in the house. We had simpler meals. And then we had regular fasting. We fasted every Wednesday, every Friday. I think part of the season, the first week of Lent, I think we fasted Wednesday up until dinner on Lord's Day, which was Saturday evening. I think during Holy Week, there were some brothers in our house. I mean, not everybody can do this. Some brothers could. Some brothers fasted the entire season of Lent, and all they did was drink fluids. They were careful about what kind of fluids to drink, and they drank them. And some guys would do that, and they would only have a little bit to eat on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. But they were led to do that, and they were helped in it. And, they had spiritual direction, so that helped to make sure that, balancing it in the right kind of way. So that's a good thing. But what it was, and it's important to see, and Jesus warned about fasting in the wrong way. When we fast, we're not earning God's favor. We're not holding the Lord accountable. Now, look, I did all this for you. Now, what are you going to do for me? Or something like that. Or to get his attention, or to get his favor. We have his favor, totally. We're children of God. He loves us. We're not earning his love. We're not behaving in a way so that he likes us more or something. And at the same time, we're also not looking for man's approval. We're not looking to outdo other people. Jesus said, be careful. Fast in a way, your Father sees in secret, and your Father wants to help you through this. So, and there's other things that are important to understand where fasting, scripturally, biblically, has been understood. For example, like one thing, to set your heart on the Lord. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, I set my face toward the Lord to make request by prayer. You set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Daniel chapter 10. So one thing we do, and at the beginning of it all, in certain ways, friends, this whole season is about drawing near to God. It's about going deeper in love with him. It's expressing, surrendering, setting my heart to seek God. And so I'm subduing my flesh, which always wants me running in other directions. It's either worrying about myself or seeking pleasure for myself and distractions and go, go, go. But this is a season to just like quiet down a bit, be still more. Be still and know that God is God and God is here. And he wants to talk to you and he wants to talk to you from your heart and to draw near. Second, when we confess our sin, fasting is a way to, in the Old Testament, you see, when people were called to repentance, there was fasting and ashes and things like that, right? There were concrete expressions. And we turn our person to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have an all-out obedience and agreement with your Son, with you, Jesus, and with the Father. So repent, Scripture says, Acts 3:19, that times of refreshing may come from God's presence. Another reason we fast is for the fulfillment of God's promises. That happened throughout the Old Testament to say, God has given us hundreds of promises, friends, and those promises are powerful, very powerful. And the Lord wants us to know what they are and to lean into them. And so fasting is a way of our paying attention to those promises, seeking them out, placing them before the Lord, thanking the Lord for them, disposing ourselves to be able to receive his promises. Sometimes fasting is done when a nation's in crisis. That's always clear in the Old Testament. And I was saying earlier in the week, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, great passage to remind us to keep us focused on the season. It says, if my people call by my name, humble themselves. Boom, that's a key part of Lent, right? To humble ourselves, our posture. By the way, humility doesn't mean I don't like myself, I beat myself up, I'm down on myself, I'm negative. That's not what humility is. That's false humility. It's got nothing to do with the real deal. Humility is quieting ourselves before God and understanding that He's God and I'm not. I know my life has dignity. Being humble is not denying the dignity that I have or the gifts I have from God. It's an attitude, it's a posture, it's a disposition before God and neighbor where I humble myself. Jesus said, you know, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Well, I want to be just like you, Jesus. I want to be just like you, meek. I want to have my powers that I'm given under in submission to love itself. At the service of love. I want all that you've given me to be at the service of love. And I want to have the posture like St. Francis. Lord, you tell me, who are you and who am I? I want to be quiet. I want to listen actively and attentively. Another grace and what fasting has been a part of in the history of the church and Jesus talked about was for a greater release of God's power. This is Matthew 17, verse 15 and following. It says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. The disciples said, why could we not cast him out? You know, the demonized boy, young man. It was just a few weeks ago that we actually covered that. It was the daily reading. We covered it here on the program. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So sometimes it's very helpful to fast to cooperate with the spiritual combat that we're engaged in. Another one is for direction. Sometimes people fast and pray, Lord, show me. Paul did it, the saints did it. And then for grace to understand. Lord, help us understand. Help us understand your will. Lord, we want to feed on your word. Lord, I set aside some meals. I set aside some other things that I don't need to have. And I want to quiet myself. And I want to be filled with you more. I want to feed on what you want to give me, what you want to show me. And finally, a friend of mine describes the, you know, scripture calls the bridegroom fast in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. It says, then the disciples of John came to him, that is the John the Baptist, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. That's part of the reason we fast, because the bridegroom's not here. We're waiting. We're the bride that's being prepared. Human history's moving toward a marriage between Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and his bride, the church. The Father's preparing a bride for his son. Seasons like this are part of the preparation, the purifying of the bride and her motives, her love, her focus, and her passion to be ready to meet him at any time. You know, friends, I've been sobered by, maybe you have too, this past year, just some of the deaths that have happened with friends, and some of it was the result of COVID, others it was other causes. But a sobering number of friends and acquaintances and people I've collaborated with have died this past year. Now, I'm in my 60s now, so that happens more. I realize that. But it's kind of shocking how fast it comes, like, wow, that person died. That person died. I just saw them not too long ago. It is really sobering. Now, it's funny how we're all going to die, but what the Lord wants us to be able to do, friends, is to be able to be ready to meet him at all times. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.